RSM Central's Form Express.
It's time to kick off the Form Express with our metropolitan meetings there tomorrow afternoon. And the highlight here in Victoria, of course, is the mighty Caulfield Cup at Caulfield. Can't wait for this meeting tomorrow. And Mark Guest is ready to go to find us a couple of winners. Good morning to you, Guesty.
How are you, Gareth? Group 1 racing at Caulfield, 2400 metre Caulfield Cup. It's one of the best races on the calendar.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this contest there tomorrow. We'll talk about the Caulfield Cup. Who do you like?
Well, I think it's a very difficult race. I think what's going to... I definitely will be paying close attention to how the track is playing, considering there is a little bit of rain around, which by race 9, it could make the track just a little bit shifty or choppy. So depending on how much rain we get. So that could change things. So the pattern... We'll be watching the pattern closely. I ended up with Mr. Quickie on top. I just felt I could forgive the last start performance and go on his run 2 starts ago. And he does love Caulfield. That's one thing about him. So I can't jump off him. I've been with him from when he ran in the McCrivey Diva. So I'm going to stick. But I'm respecting Finch. He's in great form. Obviously, the Melbourne Cup's his main target. But gee, he looked strong winning the Turnbull. And that's a good... lead-up race into the Caulfield Cup. So Finch going in for sure. He'd be up in the first 6 or 7. We heard Chris Waller a little bit earlier. Vow and Eclair is coming along nicely. It was a nice run in the Turnbull from a position where he really couldn't win. I think he's going to be better suited at Flemington, but I still think he's going to run a good race in this affair. They normally run well in the Caulfield Cup, then go to the Melbourne Cup. Brimham Rocks is one of the little bit of value who loves Caulfield, and if you go on his start to run 2 starts ago, you have to factor him in. And the chosen one was so impressive, winning the Herbert Power. I think he's one you've got to factor in, but he will be back in the rear of the field, probably with the likes of the Japanese horse, Murder Glass, who has got a bit of talent. If you take a line through Suzuka Devious, who ran in the Caulfield Stakes, well, then you've got to give it some chance. But the bit of give in the track's probably not going to be to its liking. I think it wants a really firm track. And never really been over the 2,400 metres. But looks a nice, promising horse. Mr. Quickie, I've gone with.
So Mr. Quickie to win to bounce back after a disappointing effort second up. And don't forget to play the first 4 in the Caulfield Cup with a TAB projected pool of $2 million. So plenty of money to play with there. So hopefully we can land the first 4, Guesty. What about your specials there on the card at Caulfield tomorrow?
Yeah, I think we can kick off in race 3 in the Gothic Stakes with Hilo, who won at Geelong quite impressively on a soft 6, defeating Southbank, who only was narrowly defeated in the Caulfield 1,000 Guineas. And then went to the Guineas Prelude, Hilo, and it was back a bit, and it was difficult to make up ground in that race. So to finish 6th and only a little over 6 lengths from the winner, I thought it was a really good performance, and this doesn't look any harder than what it meant in that affair. It just looks a little bit easier, actually. So I think it logs in a really good spot. Race 3, number 3, Hilo.
Okay, then where do we go?
Race 5, number 3, Soothing, the stablemate to Hilo. Soothing was very good winning the Wiley. It gets back. It can handle a little bit of give in the track, which is going to suit it tomorrow, and can run from very fast sectionals. So she's in form, Soothing. She'll be extremely hard to beat. She's around 280 at the moment. Hilo's 340.
And your final of your specials, Guesty?
I think we can go to the final race, Nantali. I'm going to take Hilo into Soothing in the Nantali. And Nantali raced, or Nantali, was in the Bobby Lewis against the males, and was quite a good run. It was up near the up on the inside. Sunlight won the race. Santa Ana Lane. Well, there, need we say more? Zatori was in that as well. So those 3 horses are pretty smart, and Nantali wasn't far from them. And she's on her home track. She does race well very well at Caulfield. And another one with a bit of give in the track won't be against it, and can sit in a forward position. So represents really good value at $10. Race 10, number 10, Nantali.
Your very best once again.
Race 3, number 3, Hilo.
All right, always do your best, Guesty. Thanks for that, brother.
All the best.
Big day of racing at Caulfield, can't wait. And Stevie Baxter will play a big part. He's got a couple of nice chances in the 2 feature races. And Stevie joins us now. Good morning, Stevie.
Morning, Gareth. How are you going?
Good, thanks, mate. Miss Leonidas was so close in knocking off Nature Strip last start at the Valley. She gets her chance in the Caulfield Sprint tomorrow.
Yeah, it was a huge run, like you said, last start, and obviously Group 1 race, so it would have been very nice, but hopefully she can make amends tomorrow at Caulfield.
Is Gate 1 a little concern, or are you happy with that?
Oh, it's the quickest way home, mate, so she's pretty quick, so she'll more than likely lead them up, so definitely not a bad thing.
Okay, and then in the Caulfield Cup, the chosen one was so good to take out the Herbert Power there last week, trained by Master and Murray Baker and also Andrew Forsman. You've got a tricky gate to overcome, but you must be happy to pick up this ride.
Yeah, look, I was wrapped to pick up the ride. I obviously ride for Murray quite a bit carnival time when he brings horses over, and hadn't had a ride for him this year, so it was a good one to pick up. And like you said, it was a super win last time. My heart did sink a bit when the barrier came out, but it is what it is, and anything can happen in a race, and fingers crossed we get a little bit of luck because I've got a lot of time for him.
If the rain does come, does that suit you as well?
Yeah, he's adaptable. He's a typical Kiwi. He's tough. He's won on a slow track, so I don't see why that'd be any bother to him.
And the quick backup, is that a positive as well?
Yeah, the backup's no problems. I've ridden him during the week and he's bouncing.
All right, mate. Well, best of luck. Appreciate your time. Just quickly, what about Runaway in the Seymour Cup on Sunday?
Yeah, he's obviously first up in that, and I trialled him the other day, and he trialled up well, so we're looking forward to a good campaign with him.
All right, mate. Best of luck. Thanks for your time, Stevie.
Cheers, Gareth. Thanks.
There's Stevie Bastard there, Miss Leonidas. A strong chance in that Caulfield Sprint, and the chosen one will just need a touch of luck from the outside draw in that Caulfield Cup. Boy, it's been a massive build-up to Everest Day over there in Sydney. Ronnie Duffacy joins us now. Good morning to you, Ron.
Yeah, good morning, Gareth.
Even Uncle Bob was blown away with the build-up. I'm talking about Bob Peters with the build-up to the Everest. How big has it been this week?
Yeah, no, it's been a long journey getting here, but it's going to be a great race day tomorrow. Perfect weather. Hopefully, you know, it should be a beautiful track. 10 big races. And a huge crowd, which we don't see much here in Sydney. So it'll be exciting for all the participants.
Where do we start with your better bets on the program?
Oh, I think the best is in race two, and it's hard to make a best for a horse that hasn't won in 434 days. But, geez, he's found a race here, number two, Humboldt Current. He's been genuine this prep without winning. This is not as strong as what he's been meeting. And when he ran third the other day, the horses that he finished behind, Dr. Drill and Rapido Shaparo, have really franked the form. Dr. Drill coming out bolting in the Cranbourne Cup impressively. Rapido Shaparo toying with his rivals in the Port Macquarie Cup. So that sets him up with that form line here. Barrier one only looks to be two or three go-forward horses. See him third on the fence here. And at the 2,000 metres now, he'll just keep grinding away from McDonald. I think he's far too good for him. Race two, number two, Humboldt Current. I think we can move along to race four. Wanted a little bit of odds here. Geez, I'm impressed. I was impressed with the first up run, number five, Betcha Flying. Look, I know it was only a midweek race at Canterbury, but the horse that won it's pretty smart, Sangria. And I just love the last 50 metres of her work. She just charged right through the line. She'll eat up 1,400 metres here. In an ideal world, I would have preferred probably a little bit more speed up front here. But I think it's an opportunity at the price you can't let go with her. Race four, number five, Betcha Flying. And look, I have to take the gamble in the Everest with Arcadia Queen. I was a little bit worried 13 back to 12 until I've just seen her in this trial since that 5 weeks ago that she had that run. She's trialled brilliantly, looking to have spring in her step. Looked amazing working last Saturday between races, I must say. She's trained to the minute, ready to run through a brick wall. And I've got to be with her. Race seven, number 11, Arcadia Queen.
Does Brutal just win the Sydney Stakes at $1.90?
I don't know. I'm tipping him, but, you know, it's a fine line training for a grand final after a good fresh run. He was outstanding first up, Brutal. And, you know, is he still? You're gambling on whether he's still got that spring in his step at 1,200 metres. Hard to beat, but a little bit nervous at $1.90.
Is Victorum home in the Kosciuszko?
Very hard to beat.
Yep.
Very hard to beat. The price has gone now, but he's the class horse of the field, highest rated, well prepared. just needs luck.
What about the Victorian Gully Chieftain? Can it win the St. Ledger Stakes?
He's got a good chance. He loves it this way around, and they've just tinkered with his gear again, and he's got a he's got a better draw than what he had the other day. But it's a drier track. That's the little concern I've got with him. He seems to like a little jarry on the track, although he's pretty good on both. But his advantage would have been a soft six, probably a six or seven if he got it here. But I've got him second pick.
Okay, and Duff, what about the Caulfield Cup?
Yeah, look, it's tough. I love Vow and Declare first up. He was very, very strong through the line. So I'm probably going to lean his way, Vow and Declare. I think he's a nice horse. He's been well handled.
Okay, Craig Williams and Danny O'Brien, as always. Duff, thanks for your time and enjoy tomorrow.
Yeah, thanks, Gareth.
There's Ronnie Duffercy with his tips on Everest Day at Randwick.
RSM Central, brought to you by TAB. Long may we play. Gamble responsibly. Gambler's Help, 1-800-858-858.
Well, this man has just a wonderful book of rides at Randwick tomorrow for Everest Day. I speak of Tommy Berry, and he joins us now. Good morning, Tommy.
Hey, guys. How are you, mate?
Good, thanks, mate. We'll kick off with the Everest Pierata, barrier number one. Geez, you must be really looking forward to this race.
Yeah, I am. It's been a massive build-up everywhere around Australia and the world. And, you know, we've got our bloke in tip-top order. His last piece of work on Thursday was great, and Greg's been very happy with him, and his lead-up runs have been spot-on. And, you know, there's definitely going to be no excuses coming into tomorrow. We've got him as good as we can have him, and he'll be there to win if good enough.
You've got a little tricky ride, you would imagine, barrier number one. Is that a negative or a positive in your eyes?
Oh, look, it's... depends what way you look at it. It's better than drawing 10, 11 or 12. But in saying that, it would have been nice to draw a little bit off the fence. But look, it's not like most races where there's, you know, most races there's going to be horses that you don't want to be on the back of, where, you know, you've got 12 horses in this race and there's 11 horses that I wouldn't have a problem with following coming into the straight. And you're going to be confident that they're all going to sort of give you some sort of, you know, card into the race at some point. And it's just about navigating your way through. So, look, it's not the end of the world. I'm just not really going to think about it too much. There's not too much thinking to do from one. Just jump out, have him happy, and hopefully get on the back of the right horse coming into the straight.
The first 2 years of the Everest, we've seen Red Cell dominate the race from the front end. But with Nature Strip involved this year, do you think it will be able to set it up for those horses like a Pierata that can flash out late wide?
Yeah, I do think so, because I've heard Tony McAvoy on the radio during the week saying that, you know, he's going to be full with sunlight and he's not going to let him cross easy and have a picnic. So, you know, even in her times, also going to be there. I probably thought she'd be almost box seat. So, you know, you're going to have those two horses that are going to push the main speed out wide to go on and take up the lead. So I couldn't see it being a slow run race, and especially with Nature Strip brewing wide, there's no chance of him getting any cover, you'd think, from out there. So he's a free runner, and Tim Clark's a great rider when he's on front runners. I'm sure he'll rate him accordingly.
In the Sydney Stakes, geez, Bruiser looks tough to beat.
Yeah, well, he's only got to improve off what he did last start, which I think anyone that saw him in the yard would see that he had plenty of improvement there. He was a little bit behind the eight ball going into that run, but he's taken great improvement since then. And, you know, he's fairly should be sharp enough still. Obviously, with a horse that, you know, he's a 1,400-metre miler, that you take the edge off him, he might not be as sharp. But I think he'll be right this weekend. And he's drawn a good gate where he's going to lean himself in a similar position as last start. I'd be disappointed if he doesn't get the job done.
Victorum looks tough to beat in the Kosciuszko. Geez, the money's come for this galloper. First up in this race, what are you thinking here, Tommy?
Yeah, well, I think the money should come for him as well. He's a class horse in the race. You know, what he did over the winter was no fluke. And he's improved every preparation. And, you know, he in the winter time he'd won at group level, and, you know, was very shy of group one company. And that winter form's since come out and stood up quite well in the early part of the spring. So he's come back. He's got a great fresh record. He's drawn a good barrier in his trials, his preparation. He's been able to hold himself a bit closer to the speed, which I think will assist him well. And, you know, I don't see any reason why he won't be very hard to beat.
What about Happy Clapper in the Craven Plate? He gets his chance to win a nice race this preparation.
Yeah, he does. And, you know, he's going very well. I gave him that expedition gallop going back about a week and a half ago, and he gave me a really nice feeling in that piece of work. And, you know, everyone sort of questions his 2,000-metre record, but, most of his 2,000-metre form was up against Winks, and she was the only one beating him on many occasions. And he should have arguably won the Craven Plate a couple of years ago. So there's good speed in the race, which is what he's been looking for in his races, and what he's been lacking in his races has been speed in his first couple of starts back this prep. So with that good speed with Stampede and Shemmered Out, and also the horse of Gerald Ryan's that I've just forgotten its name at the moment, Harper's Choice, I think it is.
That's right.
Yeah, there should be good speed in him. He can peel off the back of him and show a nice turn of foot late. He's a Group 1 horse in a Group 3 race worth $500,000, so it's a nice little race for him.
Gaelic Chieftain, the Victorian, goes around in the St. Ledger in race number 9, and this looks a really good race for him.
It does. It's a very similar makeup to the Metropolitan going back a couple of weeks ago. And you know, he was very strong through the line on that occasion, and he looked to have it won at some point. I probably just got there a little bit too early on him, not knowing the horse, but he's got a great record when he comes to Sydney. The only sort of negative I'd put towards him is he's probably better on a soft track. So being on a firm track on the weekend might just, you know, take his brilliance away from him a little bit. But in saying that, he's drawn the middle of the line again. And if we can get a nice smother up midfield or something, just look for him to hit the line strong late. But as I said, just keep in mind that he's better suited when he does have a bit of sting out of the ground.
Outside of those feature races, Tommy, do you have a nice ride in the early part of the meeting?
Yeah, I do. I think, you know, most of my rides in the early part of the meeting are going well. The horse of Nick Olive's I'm riding, it's won its last three.
Made of Ore.
Made of Ore, it's in good form. It's drawn a good barrier. It was a good midweek winner after doing a lot of work last start, so I can't see why it won't be very competitive again. And Irish Songs, I think it's one of those horses. It's got to have a few things play out right for it, but there's very good speed in that highway on the weekend. And it's a horse that can reel off some very sharp sectionals off the back of a good speed. So I'm sure I've missed a couple of my rides out there that have also good chances, but I've got a really good book of rides, and they're all peaking on the right day, so hopefully a few of them can get over the line.
Well, you must be excited, Tommy. It doesn't get much better when you ride Pierata, Brutal, Happy Clapper, Victorum and the Kosciuszko and Gaelic Chieftain in the St. Ledger Stakes. What a book of rides. You go and get them tomorrow, mate. Thanks for your time here on RSN Central.
My pleasure, Gary. Thanks for having me on the show.
Time to catch up with Chris Nelson once again to have a look at Eagle Farm tomorrow. Chris, do you like the meeting in Brisbane Town?
I do, Gareth. We've got 10 races. They mightn't be as high on the quality scale as some of the ones we're going to see down south tomorrow, but there's still 10 winners to be had. Now, race 2 is an interesting race. I'm not going to tip either of these, but I'm going to suggest that the listeners have a Cornella and Box Exacta. A couple of really smart two-year-olds. Got a Kiss was impressive, winning first start 2 weeks ago at Eagle Farm off some really strong trials. She powered away from them late. And this one of Robbie Heathcote's Rockfire makes its debut. Now, it won a trial by 7 lengths at Doomben in fast time, and then it won again over 6.50, the short trip at Deegan on Tuesday. Looks a flyer. So it'll be up forward flying along. Got a Kiss will be at the back trying to run it down. Tets up for a really exciting finish. Can't split the two of them. I suggest you take the Cornella Exactas, as I said there. But as for the bets, race 5, number 2, Great Keppel, one from the Team Edmunds stable. Had a break of a few weeks since running 6th at Doomben. Had no luck that day. Got back in a race where there was no speed. Previous two runs were very good wins. I think the mile is perfect tomorrow. Ryan Maloney will ride from a lovely gate number 4 before scratchings. I think Great Keppel can break through. Race 7, horse number 8, Auerbach. He's very consistent. His last three starts have all been in restricted grade, but they all come out of strong races. He'd run in strong time. Oink, Langrow and Enterprise Prince have been the winners of those races. He drops, or he goes to open company, but he drops down to 54 kilos. Been carrying 58, 59, 57 and a half in his last three runs. So I think that drop in weight will suit him. His form's certainly good enough, and I think he can run a very good race tomorrow, race 7, number 8. And this unbeaten one of Tony and Madison Sears, race 9, number 9, Flaming Boss. He won a race at Doomben on the 18th of September. 5 horses out of that race have subsequently run. He's one of them. He took that to Ipswich next time out, and he ran his rivals right off their legs there. He ran fast time. He won by 4.25 lengths. He's a horse that's going to win better races, Flaming Boss, and I think he can start doing that tomorrow. Race 9, number 9, Flaming Boss, rounds them out.
Your very best, Chris.
I'll go with Flaming Boss, race 9, number 9. I need to be patient.
We love being patient. Don't worry about that, Chris.
Not a patient bunch, house punters.
Thank you, Chris.
Thank you, Gareth.
There's Chris Nelson looking at Eagle Farm there tomorrow afternoon in Queensland. This is the Form Express and our Metro previews. They're racing in Adelaide at Morpheville tomorrow. Nadia Horn joins us once again. Good morning, Nadia.
Good morning, Gareth. Yes, I've just had time to make a coffee, which has been fantastic, but I'm looking forward to this program of racing in Adelaide tomorrow.
Okay, take it away with your specials.
We start off in race 3. Look, he's going to be short, number 2, Jaggery, but he does look the goods. He's only a lightly raced 4-year-old. He's had 10 starts. He's been a winner of 4 races. He's a previous New Zealand-trained and owned horse who was put on the market for a cheap price, and he's ended up being a real revelation since he's hit Adelaide, where he's won those 4 races. Now, he was able to win last time out in pretty good style. They also had him entered for the program of racing at Caulfield on Wednesday, and they've elected to save him, obviously, for the easier Adelaide contest. But he shows a very good turn of foot at the end of his races, and he's got a natural sort of flowing on-speed type action. So he'll be very hard to beat. Looks a nice leg of an all-up in race 3, 2, Jaggery. I also think in race 6, number 11, Grabbing Glory, is going to be pretty hard to beat. Look, there looks to be strong pace in this race. He is likely to get back in the race. This horse is a horse who we've seen scratch recently from a race at Gawler, which he was going to be pretty hard to beat in. But his prior form was good, where he was placed last start in the race, where he did make up very good ground off a fast speed. That looks to be a similar kind of scenario there tomorrow in race 6, 11, Grabbing Glory. And the other special comes up in the next race, race number 7, and in the 1050 benchmark 70. I'm quite keen on number 11, Octane, who was able to win first up from a break. Another race where there looks to be really strong pace. Octane showed a very good turn of foot first up, when it was very heavily supported from 10s into 3s and got the money with a bit in hand. So I'm expecting naturally improvement, and the fact that the horse ran right through the line shows that the horse has come back in particularly good style. So race 7, 11, the other good thing. So race 3, the 2, race 6, 11, and race 7, number 11.
Good punting, Nadia. Thanks for that.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Nadia Horn looking at that Adelaide meeting at Morpheville. Brittany Taylor's had a close look at a red-hot meeting over there in Perth at Ascot tomorrow. Good morning to you, Brittany.
Good morning, Gareth. Red-hot is the right way to describe it too, because it is really heating up in Perth today and tomorrow. So,
okay,
you know, when Ascot, it's warm and the Easterlies are out and about, it looks like they'll play those on pace tomorrow.
Okay, so where do we start with your better bets on the program?
Start in the first, so nice and early. Red Can Man from the, yep, Steve Wolf yard. This horse is a really nice up-and-comer. Obviously, this horse beat Nakovi last start, who we saw run earlier in the week on Wednesday over East. So this horse has an abundance of ability, and with the scratching of Zebel, it looks like it should be able to sit outside the leader and be a massive chance. So race 1, number 2, Red Can Man.
Okay, then where do we go?
Race 4, everyone is going to be on Lady Sass, and she, yep, is undoubtedly the best horse in the race. But what you get with these horses that do like to get back, and she's drawn the inside, is she probably is going to need a little bit of luck. A horse that is going to make all its own luck is Harry Thomas out in front. 25 to 35 kilometre easterlies, it will favour those rolling out in front. And Harry Thomas, even though he's a little bit of a non-winner, it's been a while since he's won, he's always placing, he's so consistent. So I think on the each-way basis, race 4, number 2, Harry Thomas.
I like it. $6 with tab.com.au. And then where do we go?
And then in race number 6, number 3, Spilling Over from the yard of my dad. So I know this horse well. I watched him just trot up the grass about an hour or two ago, and he looks fresh and ready to go. He's been good this campaign. 2 starts ago was taken on unnecessarily before the turn, and it saw his undoing. It probably just took a bit out of him in the next run, so he's been freshened up, ready for Ascot, and I think he should be able to roll to the front and give them something to catch.
I like it when Brittany tips one from our old man's camp. They usually win. So Spilling Over at $3.20 with tab.com.au. What about the feature, the Northerly? We need to keep a close eye on these races heading towards the carnival not far away over in the west. Man Booker, does he look tough to beat at 3.3?
Off what he did first up, he was just enormous. He was first up, no trial, and he had no right to win from where he was. What he was able to reel off, his last 600 was in 33.23, so he really just flew home. He has to be hard to beat, but I just, Simon Miller's pair in there, Akinar Star and Lady Cosmology, I thought both of those had improvement, particularly Akinar Star, just looking at them in the yard. Their coats weren't quite there, particularly Akinar Star. So I think we might see a bit of improvement for him if you're looking for one outside the box.
Okay, Brittany, we're all on Spilling Over then tomorrow. The best of luck, and we'll catch up with you next Wednesday.
Thank you. Hopefully he can do us all proud.
All right, Britt, thanks for that. There's Brittany Taylor, a star over there in the West. What about Melton? Tomorrow night, terrific meeting. The Blossom Lady, one of the highlights on the program there. And Blake Redden's done the form for Melton, and he joins us now. Good morning, Blake.
And morning, Gareth. Let's go backwards before we go forwards. How well do you know Grant and Alana Williams?
Yeah, pretty well.
I need you to get Windstorm Late nominated for the Railway Stakes.
Okay, won't go there, sorry, mate, because it'll be going to the Guineas on the same day.
Nah, he's too good for the Guineas, Gareth. He needs to win the Railway.
Nah, you go to the Guineas and then he will head to the Kingston Town. We told you to back him in the Kingston Town earlier on in the week. So, sorry about that, Blake. I think he's pretty good.
He's very, very
good. There's another
good.
One called Tuscan Queen that you should back as well.
Okay.
About $61, I think, with some markets. Yeah, it's pretty good too.
What do you like in the Caulfield Cup?
I like Constantinople to win now.
Okay.
I just like its form lines. It's profiled nicely. I think Val and Declare will be tough to beat as well, but Luke Nolan getting down to 53 kilos is a big positive for mine. So I'll just go with the former Aidan O'Brien trained galloper, now with Lindsay Park, and they won a Group 1 last week with a similar horse. Of course, in the Caulfield Stakes.
Cape of Good Hope.
Cape of Good Hope, yep. So hopefully they can do it once again.
Yeah, well, hopefully we can find some winners at Melton tomorrow night.
Where do we start?
Race 1, number 3, Return Soldier. This will be double figures, but I think this horse is going particularly well. 3 runs back from a pretty long layoff, and just solid improvement with all of those. Really launched to the line late at Echuca last time out. And, yeah, as I said, double figures. I think you're slotting close to the speed. He's an excellent chance in what is an even race to kick off the card. So Race 1, number 3, is the best. Ruffy, I guess you'd call him at double figures or each way bet on the program, Return Soldier. But the absolute best bet, race 3, number 7, Winebro Wasted, for Pete Thompson and Kate Gath. He was a bit unlucky last time. I know Jillaby Babska was probably going to beat him no matter how it shook out, but the fact that he got the soft trail on his back and out-sprinted him wasn't how many expected it. But at the same time, Winebro Wasted was excellent. I think he can go forward, either park out or even bully his way to the lead tomorrow night in race 3, and he'll be really hard to beat. Race 3, number 7, Winebro Wasted, at better than even money. He's the best bet on the card.
Okay, so what about the Blossom Lady? Do you have a winner there?
Well, I think that the market sort of swayed away a little bit from Nostravilla. I don't think that will be a trend that continues. She opened $1.50 out to even money. I'm expecting her to start closer to $1.50 come race time. So it's not any spoil at the price. If you're playing multiples, again, it's a little bit murkier. It looks like Heaven was excellent last time, but she was certainly favoured by the way the race was set up. Reciprocity is a class mare, but I certainly wouldn't be discounting horses like Manhands, who could lead, and Shakahari's going okay, Rock and Roll Chapel. So maybe play wider in those trifectas and first fours in the Blossom Lady, but stand Nostravilla out in your quaddies number 6. But yeah, she'll be odds on.
Who wins the Maryborough Cup on Sunday?
Oh, that's a very, very tough race. I think Code Black's a deserved favourite, but I'm not sure. Maybe 40 Thieves a Place or something of that nature might be the bet in the race. But, yeah, I think Code Black's a deserved favourite.
Thanks for that, Blake. Good punting over the weekend. Who's your tip for the Caulfield Cup?
Gareth, I'm on Finch for absolutely everything. So
okay.
It'll be, I don't know if I'll see you Monday if he wins, but I'll try.
I love it, Blake. There we go. Blake Redden looking at Melton and also his Caulfield Cup tip. Georgie Farrugia's had a close look at the Meadows tomorrow night. Georgie, good afternoon to you.
Good afternoon, Gareth. How are you?
Good, thank you. Where do we start with your best bets on the program there?
Yeah, look, there's a really good race 3, where we've got Tewitchery off box 1 and Rajasthan off box 8. Now, the tab odds haven't come out yet, but you'd think they'd be close to equal favourites, those two. I'm leaning towards Rajasthan. His last 3 wins have come over 500, 600 and 700. People know him more as a 700-metre dog, but he's got a terrific record over wide draws off middle distances at the Meadows. He won there about 4 starts ago, Gareth, where he gave them a start and a beating in a flying 34-21. Now, Tewitchery's PB is around 34.26, so you get a guy that there's not much between them. Now, essentially, there's a couple of other handy dogs in the race, but essentially I think it's a two-dog war, and I'm leaning towards Rajasthan. He's probably my best on the program after an unsuccessful campaign in Sydney. The other one I'm pretty keen on in race one, number five, Shimmer Mist. I really liked her maiden heat win. She was absolutely outstanding. She didn't show too much speed. That's probably the worry with her, but she's got lots of ability going forward. I think Shimmer Mist in good hands with Team Daly. Quaddy numbers there tomorrow night. Just check your scratchings as always. 2, 3, 5, and 8 into 3, 4, and 6 into 2, 3, 7, and 8 into 1 and 5 to bring us home tomorrow. Gareth, hopefully we've got some money in the kitty after a successful day at Caulfield.
Love your work. Thanks for that, Georgie.
Thanks, Gareth.
There's Georgie Farrugia looking at the Meadows there tomorrow night for our full podcast of our Metropolitan Form Express for racing tomorrow right across the country, highlighted by the meeting at Caulfield with the Cup and also the Everest over there in Sydney. Head to our website for all of our podcasts at rsn.net.au.